Hey everyone, welcome back. You're here again on Ad Hominem, the podcast of illogical debate. And I think we just hit an achievement this week, guys.
And that would be?
We officially have more episodes than Star Wars.
Well, that didn't seem like a very good victory.
Wow.
Well, I mean, they've got 8 and we've got 9. So take that.
So that means we're 1 better.
Hey, at least our show is written better.
Yeah, I guess the writing on Empire Strikes Back wasn't that good, was it?
You know what I'm talking about. That Last Jedi movie.
Oh, that one was great. What are you talking about? Anyway, I was kidding about Empire. It's good, too. So, we have with us this week special guest Eamon Connolly. How you doing today, Eamon?
Pretty good. I've just gone up to the bakery, come back, and had myself, like, this tiny little custard pie.
That's awesome.
And I've just been eating that, and it's fantastic.
Wait, you're not going to be eating that while recording, are you?
Oh, no, I ate the whole thing in one bite before we started.
I guess before we get anything else going, I need to check your credentials. What qualifies you to be on a podcast about illogical debate?
Are you illogical?
Probably most of my life has been pretty illogical. I've just been, like, always going around making strange decisions and ended up recording my show. But yeah, where we just take stupid ideas and run them into the ground by exploring, like, the logic of wearing brown shoes to the point where...
To the point where you discuss that museums are nostalgia for old people.
Yes, like discussing museums are nostalgia for old people, because they totally are.
I guess so. I heard somewhere the other day that Australia is just an elaborate hoax by the British government to cover up the fact that they drowned a bunch of prisoners. Can you confirm or deny this?
I can confirm that there are a lot of prisoners wandering around here, and that the ground underneath me exists.
Okay.
And those really are the two cornerstones of our society, is lots of prisoners just freely roaming, and a whole lot of ground underneath you.
All right. So you can then say with certainty that you are not actually a holographic projection programmed by a chatbot to simulate somewhat real conversation?
Technically, I can't confirm that because I can't prove that I'm not just a robot. But I can tell you that as far as my experience goes...
Okay, have you ever checked one of those boxes on the computer that says not a bot?
Yes.
Okay, that's good enough for me. So, do you want to... I guess you already did tell us a little bit about But Yeah, but do you want to mention anything else great about it?
So what I like about it is it's sort of like a mishmash of stupid ideas and conversation. And then my buddy Zeb, he turns it into, like, all this interesting psychology stuff. Because he's studied that. And so what happens is he ends up talking for, like, a minute and a half on some psychology topic. And then I get a chance to butt in and ruin it. And we take, like, this giant path into some other horrible territory where eventually we're talking about vaping a ship into a bottle.
I have not got to that episode yet.
Okay, neither have I.
No, that one just came out.
Oh, okay.
That's our 20th one.
All right. I'll look forward to that then.
Yeah, that sounds like a funny one.
Anyone have any stories to share before we get going?
I spent a whole afternoon reduplicating the Netflix webpage in Photoshop.
And why did you do this?
Because someone I pay lots of money to educate me told me to do it.
Understandable.
I mean, I'm paying him money. Yeah. He must have a good point for doing it.
Well, that's what my professor today told me. That there's definitely a point to his really weird method of holding a pencil. Do you guys want to just go ahead and jump in? I know this wasn't a very long random intro, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, is it?
No, that's fine.
All right.
I think we can discover some insane things throughout the episode anyway.
Yeah, probably. So, I've got one thing I want to run by everyone. So, for the month of February, we tested this with the Bootmon episode. And I think for the month of February, for all of our special guests, we're going to let them have their full 5 debate episodes instead of just the 3 debate ones that we usually do. Apologies if there's one that's just really bad, but but we're going to leave this open so that you can experience some of the magic of these other shows that are loaning us their talent for a day.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. I think it's going to be really fun.
Thank you for joining us. And this is pretty big for us because I think you have a slightly more established podcast than we do.
Just slightly.
Very slightly. Just slightly. I mean, definitely... definitely we've got those 11 more episodes. That's definitely a fact.
Yeah, looks like you've got more ratings on iTunes than we do at this point.
Would that be one?
Yeah, we have one, but no, I'm looking right now, it looks like you've got 7.
Oh, what? When did they get there?
Holy crap, I think we just got our 5 minutes of randomness.
So,
with that, I think we definitely need to explain the rules. So, you've listened to at least one episode of our show before, right?
Yes.
Cool. So can you tell me what a logical fallacy is?
It's essentially wrong logic. So
yeah, basically.
You're trying to use logic to apply your ideas to a situation, and you're just doing it completely wrong.
I'll accept that answer. So there's like a whole bunch of classes of logical fallacies, and I've taken 30 of them, mixed them together, and we're going to just draw them at random, and you guys are going to debate with them. One of the things that I wanted to do was get, like, questions that were more specific to your show, but I couldn't really pick out any one central theme except for the fact that Google Images Assistant sometimes comes in.
Well, that's how we started it. It was, we talk while Google Assistant listens. I set up a macro to press voice search every 5 seconds, and it would come up with images. And at some point, we realized that doesn't work very well for audio.
The only questions that I had prepped for you are more like movie trivia things.
Okay, that works for me. I only barely know some movies, so I'll just pull all the information out of imagination.
That's okay. So basically, I have prepared some trivia questions. Some of them are actual, real trivia facts, and some of them are absolute bullshit.
All right.
I sent you a list of those 6 trivia facts. If you guys are ready to start, then we'll just roll a D6 to figure out which of these 6 trivia facts we're going to be debating. So the way this is going to work, some of these are fact, and some of these are not fact, or let's just say fact or fiction for simplicity. If you argue first, then you think that the fact I'm giving you is real. If you argue second, it's not real.
Okay, I get it.
Did you know that before starring as Katniss Everdeen in The Hunger Games, Jennifer Lawrence was the actress recast as Mystique for the movie X-Men First Class? Tyler, you think this is true. Eamon, you do not. Tyler, you have 60 seconds to explain why this movie fact is true.
Well, I believe it's true because, well, you told me it was true, and you've never lied to me ever, except for that one time, and that other time, and pretty much every time we've ever been in the same room together. But ultimately, you would never lie to me, so I assume this is true.
All right, Eamon, you have 60 seconds to explain why this is false.
Let me just put on my speaking glasses. So I believe this is false, because I'm looking at this information, and I'm thinking about the whole concept of actors in general, and that kind of reminds me of the Bicentennial Man, how he was played by an actor, and how he changed out his robot parts for different parts until he became a human. And so, just sort of thinking about the whole idea of actors, I don't think that this is true.
Comparing actors to something that would switch out parts is the equivalent of bombing Hiroshima. It's just insane. It's completely a different. It's completely outrageous and totally unbelievable. He would make that comparison. People aren't machines. I mean, we're made of parts and individual components that go together, and probably we could eventually make a robot similar. But totally, we are not machines, and it's not an accurate comparison. It's like comparing the Lindenberg burning to a car crash. It's just you can't do it. No.
Okay, to counter that, this is obviously not false, because if you look at the Hunger Games selection of merchandise, you can actually get a Hunger Games Barbie doll that looks exactly like Jennifer Lawrence, and that retails around $24.95. But this one guy painted up his to look exactly like Jennifer Lawrence, and that was about $500. So, in closing, the argument is obviously false. Because Jennifer Lawrence is Hunger Games.
She is Hunger Games, is she? Well, I think she's a travesty.
Yes.
Just horrible. I can't think of anything to carry that through.
So in closing, I don't think Jennifer Lawrence would have done X-Men First Class because she was always destined for the Hunger Games. Based on just all this information I have about the Hunger Games. Like, Katniss is almost as good as potatoes, one quote says. And Finnick is terrified of giant crabs in the movie. And I feel like that really pushes my argument forwards.
So that was our first debate, whether or not Jennifer Lawrence actually played Mystique in X-Men First Class. So first off, I'm going to reveal whether it was fact or fiction. That was a fact. As far as your debates go, though, what we actually care about is how well you did on your illogical debates. I have three criteria off of which I will determine that. Let's just go ahead and get into that. Did you use your fallacy? Oh yeah, guys, lay your fallacies out before I get any further.
Mine is moral equivalence. Compare minor misdeeds to major atrocities.
And Eamon? Would you like to read yours?
Red herring. Present irrelevant or unrelated information or arguments in an attempt to distract your opponent from the main point.
It distracted me indeed, I agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think you both used your fallacies just fine.
I think he used it a lot better.
I agree. He used it a lot more, for certain. So, point two, we have who had the best opening argument. That will also probably go to Eamon, because his lasted more than 10 seconds.
wasn't mine about the Bicentennial Man?
Yes. That was exactly your... I think that... Yeah, that was your point. And Tyler, yours lasted 10 seconds. Who had best responses to criticism? That one I actually will give to Tyler.
Well, you have to give me something.
But Eamon wins the round.
I'm the champion.
And remember, everyone, you can decide a different outcome for that if you really want to when the polls go up after the episode comes out. But, I mean, why would you? I think I called it just right.
Come on, vote for me.
You don't have to do that.
Yes,
don't,
you do.
Don't give in to his peer pressure.
Let me brainwash you and get up in that noggin of yours.
Don't let him into your brain.
Yeah.
That's not what
I have to agree. Don't let me in the brain, because then once I'm in there, I'll never leave.
His thoughts should never become your thoughts.
I'll always whisper in your ears. All right. Off to the next one.
Did you know that in the hit TV series The Following, Kevin Bacon plays a serial killer who managed to start a cult from prison? Eamon, you think this is true. Tyler, you think this is false. Eamon?
So, obviously, Kevin Bacon plays a serial killer in The Following. Just because that's kind of his MO as an actor. We know this from Friday the 13th, where he was in that film, which also had a serial killer. And I'm guessing that's where he got a taste for wanting to be a serial killer. And so that's why I believe that he obviously plays a serial killer in The Following, because every role since Friday the 13th has been serial killers.
Well, you know, it's not really my job to look up evidence, but it looks like you did all the work for me. So I'm going to say it's all false, because... You can't force me to look up the evidence, so I can't be helped to know whether it's true or not. Well, I can't be helped to look up the evidence. I'm just saying, it's nice that you looked up some evidence, but it just seems like all the evidence is false. You're just making assumptions that that's what's going to be. Where's your evidence?
Now, I don't know why you're saying all my evidence is false, which would lead to this trivia fact being false, because the trivia fact is obviously true. If we look at Kevin Bacon's history, he's got quite a filmography of being in murder movies and movies where stuff just goes all wrong, like Apollo 13. He's always just sort of played it real close to death and destruction. And so it sort of makes sense, based on his history, why he would end up being a serial killer in a show, and probably in real life, maybe? But that's another story.
I honestly haven't done enough of this research just because I couldn't be helped. So much so that I thought when you said Kevin Bacon, I just started getting hungry. I really could use a BLT right about now, but life forbid, I get a little hungry here. But I just can't imagine that Bacon could actually act in anything, let alone a murder mystery. I mean, Bacon is so tasty and delicious and meaty. Bacon.
All right, well, so that's nice out of the way. Go ahead and throw out your topics. Or not your topics, your methods. So, who wants to read theirs first?
I will go. I had the gambler's fallacy. Assume information about future events based on a trend set by past events. Which I took to mean current events set by past events. So I'm not sure how I answer that with future.
Yeah, actually, these are both past events because I don't think the following's actually running anymore.
Mine is the burden of proof. And it is to say that it isn't your job to find proof to support your claim, but your opponent's job to find proof against it. So, therefore, it's not my job.
I really would wish that you would have pushed Eamon a little bit more to, like, use his evidence to disprove your claim. Like, what you were doing was just admitting that you've done no research on this. It felt like, to me, like Tyler was just admitting that he did no research on this before going into this argument, instead of saying, I know I'm right, now you prove me wrong.
Well, I know I was right. I know this was a false argument.
So you actually, like, that's what you were doing during your break. Okay. So yeah, this whole premise was actually false because Kevin Bacon actually played the cop who was hunting down the serial killer that started the cult from prison.
Perfect.
You are right, though. He did play in a lot of movies with death as a huge theme.
But was there Bacon?
So, Eamon, I'm gonna say you used your fallacy better. I'm tempted to say Tyler didn't use his at all.
But no. Just because I took the lazy approach.
No, I'll allow it. So, best opening argument. That one I'm going to give to Eamon as well. You know what, Eamon? You get the hat trick on this one. You also have best responses to criticism.
I think it worked to my benefit, having no idea what the following is, and having like a very barely any information on who Kevin Bacon is.
Oh.
Well, that didn't work for me at all.
Kevin Bacon is an actor who, like, everyone jokes about having other actors a degree of separation from. If you've ever heard of the Bacon number, it's basically how many films, shows, etc. am I away from having starred in a film with Kevin Bacon?
That's crazy.
Anyway, moving on. Did you know that actor Sean Ashmore, who played Iceman in the X-Men series, was the face, voice, and actor of Jack Joyce in the video game/movie blend Quantum Break?
This is really reaching deep into my bag of information I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say that too, but...
So I'm the only one here who's played Quantum Break?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I don't play trash games, but I mean...
Hey.
What?
You take that back. Remedy is a wonderful company.
But is it Dead Space?
Ah.
Dead Space was good, except for the third one. The third one sucked.
Do what?
It's a game not series or whatever.
I know what Dead Space is.
Well, no, you don't know what it is.
Nobody knows what it is.
Not even the people who made it.
I know exactly what Dead Space is, and I also know that they weren't made by Remedy. That Remedy is the one who did Alan Wake and the first two Max Paynes. Anyway, are we going to continue talking about video games we don't know about, or are we going to debate whether this person actually was in this video game we don't know about?
All right, let's...
Well, it's up to you.
Let's debate the guy that we don't know about being in the thing we don't know about.
Okay, let's do it.
That's cool. So who was going first again? Tyler?
And I'm arguing that it is true that this person did the thing that... in the thing that... Wait, what was the question again?
Okay, the guy who played Iceman in the X-Men movies was also in a video game that was also a movie.
Okay. I think this is an absolute truth. And this is because the individual in question has played in a video game before Quantum Break. He played in the X-Men's equivalent. And I do say X-Men's because that's the only proper way of saying the X-Men. Anywho, since he played in one video game as an actor, he most likely played in all the video games that had to do with a movie that he was also tied in. There's no other way to put it. He must have been in both all the games that were also all the movies that he was a part of.
So I know why you're all here, and there's been a lot of news about this, and I know that you all care so deeply about this. Sean has really sort of disgraced the X-Men name and the Quantum Break name, and while we know he did play it, we're going to completely rewrite history now. He did not. He did not play the actor of that, because you guys just hate him so much. And we're officially changing this trivia fact to be that he did not play it, because you all care so much about hating this guy.
In the Marvel comics, since he once played as the X-Men Iceman, Iceman was once actually brainwashed by Jean Grey to be gay. And upon this discovery, I quote, and I understand now, that more likely this is a truth, because, well, if he is to become something else, then he can become something new. Then he, as Iceman, must always be in a game.
So I'm proud to say that officially, as of today, Jack Jamesman was the face and actor of Jack Joyce in the video game movie Blend Quantum Break. And we don't talk about Sean Ashmore anymore because of how much you people care about this decision. And I gesture towards you, ladies and gentlemen. My opponent is wrong. Jack Joyce was played by Jerry Jamesman, or whatever the guy's name is. It doesn't matter. It's just he's a placeholder. We're just getting rid of Sean Ashmore in the history because you all hate him so much.
My closing is that this must be a truth because it was once true before. And I'm sorry. The fact that he once played in a game that was also a movie still holds true. And I do think that his comics were just so well written, in fact, that he should always be considered truly a Quantum Break in my heart.
So I'd like to thank you all for coming. My opponent is, like, we've given him his time to voice his opinions, and we like to do that here at the company. But the fact still remains, we've completely erased Sean Ashmore from the history of this game, and Jerry Jamesman was the face and actor of Jack Joyce. And I'm thank you all so much for putting your hearts into this decision. We really appreciate your support. Thank you so much.
Okay. I assume that was the end?
That's the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
I felt like I was on like a talk show or something.
So I'm sure from how much I've talked about how much the awesome this game has in it before, that you guessed that, yeah, totally true. It was Sean Ashmore who played both Iceman and Jack Joyce. Not anymore, because Eamon wrote him out of history.
I will live in my fantasy world. My method, if you wish to know, was the division fallacy. Declare that because something is true of the whole, or a trend, it must also be true of the individual components it's comprised of.
Okay.
Yes.
Maybe. Amen.
And my argument was appeal to emotion. Try to get an emotional response from the audience instead of supporting an argument with evidence.
Yeah, I think you went after the audience.
Oh, so that's why you hated Sean Ashmore. Okay.
No,
okay.
I don't know Sean Ashmore. I don't have anything against the guy except the fact that we have to rewrite history to remove him.
Yeah, but you said in your opening argument that you hated him.
No, the audience hates him.
Oh, I guess that's true. You spent the entire time trying to win the audience over to like you because you kept thanking him. That was good. And then you convinced them that they just hated this guy. Best opening argument and best fallacy use I'm going to give to Eamon again.
No.
I really like Joel's one, but I would take it.
Okay, you're going 3 for 3 today.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up being the skunk in me today. Because you just keep giving me these weird ones. Oh, man.
Wait, if I win, do I have to take Joel's place in the void?
Ooh. Interesting.
No, I want
is he taking a dive so he can get out of the void?
I don't know. Is he? Interesting.
No, I am definitely not trying to escape this place as a host on this show.
Yeah, that ball and chain is really attached to his leg, by the way.
I like this void.
It lets him feel at home with the depths of his soul.
So I think we talked enough about this before the debate. You ready to move on?
Yeah, I'm always ready. It's probably going to be another obscure movie I've never heard of.
I didn't think most of these were that obscure.
Well, for me, they apparently are, so I'm just must be uncultured. I'm an uncultured swine.
Or maybe I just like weirder things than I thought I did.
My God, I like some really weird shit, man.
I thought everyone at least saw the X-Men movies.
Okay, the X-Men movies were okay. It's just when you start going to Quantum Break, man, you kind of lost me there. Let the next one be about Jet Li. Let the next one be about Jet Li.
I have no idea what that is. Also, that's not it. Anyway, hopefully you guys have heard of this one. If you say this is an obscure thing, then I'm going to go and try and find what parallel dimension I just jumped out of. Did you know that the four houses of the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry are Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Slytherin, and Ravenclaw?
Is this some kind of fan fiction?
Yeah.
No! This is Harry Potter.
Harry who? Harry Nuts? What?
No. What? Okay, you guys are messing with me now. This isn't nice, guys.
I mean, at the very least, it should be like something like, I don't know, the Bionicle or something. Like, at least that's more popular.
Yeah, I mean, that Bionicle movie, everyone
knows
that.
It's a wonderful movie. It's best ever made.
Which Bionicle movie?
The Quest for the Golden Gear 3.
Yep, that's legit.
I don't think that was one.
Yeah, that's legit. I can confirm.
Are you sure?
Yes. They had about three of these golden gear things.
Sure about that?
There's a golden mask, a golden sword, and a golden butthole.
So Harry Potter.
Yeah. So, are those the actual house names or not? So you think this is true.
Okay.
And Tyler, you think this is wrong. But it's not like you know anyway.
It's very wrong.
Eamon, is this a true statement and why?
So if anyone's read the book of the Harry Potter movies, you know that obviously the Hogwarts school has Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Slytherin, and Ravenclaw. And you would know that because the books, they've just got those names in big letters on each page. It's just really easy to understand. And it's obvious anyone would know that. So the four houses at Hogwarts are Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Slytherin, and Ravenclaw.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that. I'm not sure this information is entirely accurate. I mean, Flufflepuff? Isn't that a Pokemon? And Ravendor? It sounds like somebody just, like, had a raven and a dwarf and was like, yeah, that's gonna be a house. I don't know, man. It just doesn't seem like that evidence fits. Seems like he's trying to throw us for a loop. We shouldn't trust the Joneses. I think that this is false as can be. Yep, them names found like Pokemans and weird little creatures and such.
I'm having trouble understanding the words my opponent is using. Like raven? What are they comparing to a raven? What is a raven? And just everything that comes out of their mouth, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. I don't feel like their argument really made any sense.
Gollum?
Losses. I'll make my arguments right now. Now, I do believe that Ravendor thing, well, it just sounds like some sort of, like, weird mythical craziness. But I think it's just hobbycock. Just to throw us for one heck of a loop. And that Hufflepuff? Again, it sounds like a Pokemon. Maybe a Digimon? If they put Mon at the end of it, Hufflepuffmon? I don't know, maybe it would just like digi-evolve into Hufflepuff gray thing? I don't know. Anywho, it seems very odd and very strange. They would name their houses like this after, I mean, this is supposed to be from an award-winning book, and their name is Hufflepuff? That's kind of gay. Kind of weird, man. Ugh. And you don't like the fact that my voice sounds weird? Haven't you heard your own voice? It's all squeaky and stuff.
Don't get me wrong, it's not the voice. It's those those words you're using, like hoppycock and mythical? Mythical's not a word, as far as I know. I don't know, just everything you say, it's just in this weird sort of... really weird wording that's just sort of... I don't know, I guess you're trying to exclude people from the argument because we don't know what mythical means. But what I know in my heart from the children's book of the movie of Harry Potter is that the four schools of wizardry are Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Slytherin, and Ravenclaw. And if you can word your things a little better for everyone, that would be nice. Thank you.
Yes. I didn't get none of them fancy edumacations that you got, but I'm not even sure that what this is trying to be is even educationable. I mean, come on. You don't even know what mythical is? Mythical is just, well, mythical. It's like a mysterious thing that might be legendary? Well, anyways, I'm pretty sure that these are Pokemon and not really, really houses. Because no way an educated person writing a fancy novel with millions viewing it and reading it, ultimately becoming a movie, would ever use Pokemon names to name houses. That's just weird. Just weird. Reasons, I say.
Okay, Tyler, can I just say that you started out with a solid Gollum, and then you ended up more of... a hobo with a high-pitched voice?
It was a good, the character from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Oh, yeah, the little meatball dude.
I was just going for a squeaky voice there. That's about all.
Oh.
I wasn't going for Gollum. You just started saying Gollum, and I went with it, so... Mises likes it.
You did do that in your opening argument, which is why I went with Gollum.
Okay. If you say so, I wasn't paying attention to what I was saying.
Though apparently some of our listeners don't even like Lord of the Rings.
That's blasphemy!
That's crazy. Hey, quick Lord of the Rings fact. When all the trees are burning in the part where all the ants burn down, there's this song, and the lyrics to it, if you read them translated, form like a real cool rap about everyone dying.
Now, is that fact or fiction?
No, that's fact. That's 100%.
Cool.
All right. I wish I had come over that instead of my thing about Quantum Break, because apparently I lost you all there.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought X-Men. I thought mentioning the X-Men would at least make it relevant, but no, I lost you at that, too.
Yeah, I haven't watched X-Men properly.
Oh.
I think you just crossed too many genres. You should have said something about, like, the iron scene where he pulls the iron out of, like, the guard's body or something.
So is X-Men, like, a knockoff of the Fantastic Four movie from the early 2000s?
No, X-Men is its own thing about, like, a bunch of mutants who are being persecuted by the government. And some of them just want to, like, lead by example, and some of them just want a violent overthrow.
Yeah.
All over taxes?
No. Over being mutants. It's a bunch of teenagers who, while also going through puberty, are also getting superpowers.
Ah, gotcha. So it's like Fantastic Four with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No, it's nothing like that, but we'll just go forward. You need to watch it. It'll be good. I think you'll like it.
Yeah, except First Class is okay. It's Last Stand that's the bad one.
Yeah, it's the last big one that they put all their money and time into, and then that one ended up blowing.
Well, it ended up blowing because they rewrote the script 10 times and changed the director twice.
So they went DC on it? Oh!
We are going into debate 5 now, so we're down to it.
All right.
This is...
did we talk about our card
this
yet?
This is going to be our last... Oh, yeah, we totally forgot about that.
We got sidetracked.
Yeah, let's not get into that yet. Okay, back to judging. No one even remembers the debate at this point. Tyler, your proof by assertion was, I think, you had a funny voice, you kept saying the names wrong, and they were all Pokemon names. That was your story, you stuck to it, I think?
Yep.
And then...
I think he did, yeah.
But all your words were too big for Eamon to understand.
That's not my problem.
You both actually did a good job with your fallacies. If I have to decide based off that, I'll have to come back to it in a minute. I'm thinking on it. So, for... who had the best opening argument? I'm going to give that one to Tyler. and best responses to criticism.
Yeah, I'd give it to him.
Yeah, I don't think you're right. Your method probably didn't really fit very good with criticism because you're repeating the same thing.
It's really a horrible one for criticism.
This combination is a really unfortunate one because we're both the dumb guy, essentially.
Yeah.
Like most politics.
I guess so. Yeah, Eamon, you win this round as well.
Excellent.
Can Tyler redeem himself in round 5?
Do you guys ever go to the movies and get there on time for the ads and enjoy them?
Yeah, sometimes.
Not at my local theater.
My theater has an extra layer of ads.
I know local ads are the... I know a lot of people hate ads, but they're my favorite thing to go to the movies for because you get to play car or deodorant.
Huh? Car or deodorant?
Because it's like, you're a hard-working person. When you get home, you want to relax.
The only two people who advertise at my theater is the hospital and the water company.
What's the crossover on those two companies?
They both sponsor the theater?
Do they both, like, share a lot of business?
I think I have a more interesting one to talk about. Have you ever had a church advertise in the middle of a theater?
No.
What, like priests coming
no,
up to
No, no, I don't mean like they're literally, but it's in their ad. They have like ads for these, like, in Seymour, there are these churches that are literally inside of a convenience store or former convenience stores that people have converted into churches. And they'll occasionally advertise at the Great Escape. And I just sit there and I scratch my head as like, it's a local business. It's a church. Come and give us your money. Yay!
We're a not-for-profit.
Yeah.
I've been waiting in my area for those drive-through churches to come in. When you go in, you pull up, you pay a little bit, and then you go through, you get your procession, and then you drive as fast as you want because you're now blessed.
That would be awesome if real. Wait, is that that's a real thing that you have in Australia? You're not kidding about this.
No,
that would be hilarious.
Anything like that?
Oh, okay. Anyway, so you want to go to the last debate?
Eventually.
Let's do it though. Like at some point.
All right, let's do it. I'm good. I'm excited. I'm anxious. I'm tired. Right. I'm gonna go to bed.
So, fact or fiction? Did you know that Disney hid at least one penis in the background of every animated film they made between 1980 and 2000?
Yes, I did.
Why is this true?
Well, I believe this is true because, well, I may have some movies down in my basement in VHS form that may have escaped the recalls on these various movies that may or may not have promotional material still left within the boxes and containers and the pages and reels within the movies. In short, I may have the evidence that I might watch every so often just to laugh at it. It also makes for a really good beer game. You know, drink when you see the dick. I remember The Rescuers. There's actually one frame in The Rescuers where they're flying, and there's actually this JPEG, or not really a JPEG back then, but it was a picture of a barely breasted woman. And the first time I saw it, I sat there and I was like, wait, what?
Now, I'm not saying my opponent's an idiot, but in terms of the fact of the matter, there's really not that many people who believe in the idea of there being one penis hidden in the background of every Disney movie around those dates. Like, maybe around, like, different time periods, but 1980s to 2000, there's only, like, 20 people who really, really believe that. Everyone else, if you go around the place, everyone else is just, everyone else knows that's fake, that they're just photoshopping their things and making up their stories about their mum walking in. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm just sort of a whole community of people who we get together and we talk about how this is fake. And it's a good time. We get together, have drinks, and talk about the lack of dicks in Disney movies.
Well, I hear your argument, and I totally respect the part where you said I'm not an idiot. So, so thank you for that. But Yes, I still have to say that from personal experience, I would have to say that I still feel like since I've seen a dick in a poster or two, at least with The Little Mermaid, I would say at least one movie at least contained said dick and or appendages. And there may have been a Rescuers Down Under movie that also may have contained a barely breasted naked woman. So, I would have to disagree with you, sir.
See, the thing is that as far as my personal research goes, the Earth just goes on forever on a flat plane. But if we look at science and research, we can see that obviously it's a nice round globe or a cube. And everyone that I spend my time with, there's just sort of the communal sort of knowledge that we've gathered over the years of us getting together, having drinks, talking about the lack of dicks in Disney movies. We all sort of just know that it was faked. It happened. People started photoshopping and editing these VHS things, and we've sort of just figured that out. And I can see, like, there's like 20 people in the world who think that there were dicks, and they keep going on YouTube talking about it. And it's really annoying. So I don't know how you can sort of not really see when everyone else knows that it was faked.
Here's what I'm going to say. Well, while Photoshop is a really nice program, and technically there used to be techniques to add little things into movies. In fact, that's how they removed said scenes and or animations and posters and whatnot, is just to simply to edit these things out. Because, you know, when parents started seeing dicks in posters, they were a little concerned, to say the least. So essentially, they edited a lot of stuff out. But I don't think Photoshop itself actually existed when some of these movies I'm thinking about, like the original Little Mermaid, although they would later on edit out some things. Anyways, yeah, I would say that's about it. I remember that there was the SFX issue, which everyone for some reason thought said sex.
See, the argument I would make is that after so many years of so many people saying that it's not true, I don't see how we could take this tiny bit of evidence of this one person's small account about this VHS they watched back in 1997 and take that and use that as proof. And I've never seen these tapes. My community's never been given them. We've asked for them from you on many occasions, and
no one asked me anything.
You've never really you've never
technical foul
come up with
okay.
And so as far as we know, there are no dicks in Disney movies. None.
Okay.
This whole thing is
that one is, I think, a truth. So you guys want to throw out your cards?
Yes. Wait, who went first?
You did.
Okay, then I'll say mine first. I had the antidotal or anecdotal card. Use personal experience or isolated examples as evidence instead of supplying research to support your claim. And I was talking about when I was a little kid and got to see some of these awesome scenes in movies.
Okay. And Eamon?
I had bandwagon. Appeal to a topic's popularity or reference the number of people who support or agree with it as a form of validation.
I think you did that pretty good.
Which, for me, is a problem because it's the opposite of reality.
I love how you made up this community of people who you just get together and have drinks with and talk about how there's no dicks in Disney movies. That actually sounds like a great group. But what would be the point? Would it just be to disprove these sort of things about, hey, did you know this was in movies? Or would it be a push to get nudity in Disney movies?
Yeah, well, that's what we want. We just can't find any evidence of any.
Oh, okay.
So it's a fetish, then.
No. It's just, that's what we want to see, just on an intellectual level.
It's a fetish. Bondage and everything. This sounds like a creep group. What are we going to expect? What, are you the gimp in it? I don't get how this goes, because this is scary. Run! This is worse than a furry convention.
Anyway, you guys used your methods. Good job. Best opening argument? Yeah, you told a compelling story there.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I lied my ass off.
Probably.
But... Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Wait, was the rescuer's thing fake then?
Do you walk out of the room when you start talking and come back when you're done?
I just stopped paying attention to what I have to say. I'm smarter than most. I know when I start saying stuff, I might as well just walk away. I need some bacon.
All right, responses to criticism, though. Eamon has his coalition for nudity in Disney movies to back him up. So I like that counterpoint. So I guess we're down to who used their fallacy better. You know, I just really like that coalition for nudity in Disney movies.
It's a great bandwagon to get on. Everyone's done
it. It's just because you got the fetish for all that stuff, man. Come on.
Also, you know who would be a good one to get on your argument for that?
Who's that?
Kevin Bacon.
No, not my only weakness.
Kev's a regular.
A couple years ago, I think it was back in 2015, he made a short video about pushing for more male nudity in Hollywood, and it was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, well, see, what the Disney group came out of is there was a Kevin Bacon group of a similar thing, and then we had this Disney one. It was pretty small. Then we joined with the Kevin Bacon group, and it just went off.
Do you have the Free the Bacon hashtag and all that?
I wonder what else the Frozen movie would have turned out if there was a little bit more nudity in it.
Kevin Bacon's group only cares about male nudity, so...
I think I'd have to watch Rule 34 of something to find out.
Yeah, don't do that. That's like the most dangerous thing you can ever...
Don't tell our audience that. They could totally look up Rule 34 stuff.
Guys, don't look up Rule 34 stuff. Don't even look up what Rule 34 means.
It's awesome. Everybody needs to know a little Rule 34 in their life so they can be horribly, horribly scarred.
I take it back. I take it back. Look up what it means so you know not to look up anything else with the letters, or not letters, with the numbers 34 attached to it. So let's move on to happier topics. like last week's debate.
Disney is the happiest topic in the world.
Last week's debates. I've got some results here. For debate one, Lego Bulbasaur versus Shock Deoxys. 13% of people voted Lego Bulbasaur and 87% voted Shock Deoxys. So, good job to our guest star, Margaret, there. Debate two, Emo Scrafty versus Squirtwig. That was 44% Emo Scrafty and 56% Squirtwig. So, again, good job, Margaret. Did Margaret just, like, pay people to vote for her or something?
I might have had a hand in that, but I totally didn't have a hand in that.
Debate 3, Boba Fett versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtle. 88% of people voted Boba Fett. 12% voted Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtle. So Margaret won that one, too. For debate 4, Matrix-bound Pikachu versus misprinted Leafeon. Even though that's where Margaret revealed that she hated Lord of the Rings, she still got 75% of the vote. And then the last debate, somehow, someway, Stone Celebi lost to Pikaduck.
Pikaduck? Pikaduck should always win.
Pikaduck?
But it's a rubber duck with a Pikachu painted over it.
And? Sounds like the best Pokemon ever. It's more creative than some of the other Pokemon.
Yeah, but Stone Celebi. It's a stoned Celebi. That should always
win. But it's still a Celebi. It's just been stoned. I mean,
but
Pikaduck. You could also call Pikaduck Squeakachu.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, but Chu already means squeak.
Yeah, it would be squeak.
So he'd be squeak squeak.
Squeak squeak, motherfucker.
Thunder King Ryo. Which is basically Thunder King, Thunder King.
Anyway. So, Margaret got a total hat trick on the last episode, 5 out of 5. And if it was up to me, that would be Eamon this time. I don't know, it might go differently for you guys. You'll have to let me know when that all comes out. Or I guess I'll let everyone else know.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you all for listening in. We are basically done now. We just need to do a few last minute things. Eamon, you want to just remind everyone who you are and why you're here?
Yeah, so I do a podcast called But Yeah with Eamon and Zeb. Zeb's my buddy who is like, he did a psychology degree and he loves psychology, works in a sleep lab. And he just has all this interesting science information. And every week we come together and we jump off of the International Day of the Year that it is. And we kind of just segue from that into something terrible. And you can find us on iTunes and everywhere.
So thank you for listening in. Go check him out if you didn't come here because you know him. Then you can also follow us. We are Ad Hominem, the podcast of illogical debate. You found us somehow. If you haven't subscribed yet, you can do that. There's probably a button pretty close to the play button on your listening service of choice. So press that. Go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes if you have a moment. If you don't have a moment, then just press the stars or something. That helps too. We like it when people do that. If you want to find us on Twitter, you can find the company at Incitement Games. Also, we recently started a Facebook group, so come and play with us there. That is the Group of Illogical Debate.
Yeah, I'll invite Zeb to that. He'll love it.
You should join too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm not going in there. I'll invite him to it and then never go in.
Just leave the rule 34 out of it, though. That place will get creepy if you start bringing that stuff in.
Oh, I'm going to go in there and I'm just going to sell pants. Is that okay?
No, please do not sell pants on our thing.
Thanks for having me on this show. This has been really fun.
Thanks. And, you know, this whole thing, I was trying to do, like, a whole bunch of experimental question types to match our guests for the next month, and I didn't really match you that well, I think, and then the thing that I tried didn't work as well as I wanted it to, so sorry about that. I hope this episode is still worth listening to, and...
To be honest, talking about shows and movies I haven't seen, and celebrities I don't know, is like 80% of what I do anyway.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of worked anyhow.
Trying to extrapolate references with whatever context I have.
Although, seriously, I do recommend you go look up all the video games that Remedy has made and then watch the X-Men series.
Yeah, I'll check out Quantum Leap by Remedy.
It's Quantum Break. Jeez.
Now, Quantum Leap is a good show. You should watch Quantum Leap.
Is Quantum Leap also a game?
No,
it's a TV show.
It's an awesome TV show.
An old one.
Yeah, a real awesome old one. Back before they knew how to make movies and stuff that made it really good. Because they didn't know how to do stuff, so they don't know what they were doing. But it was also kind of funny because every show was different.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't think we have anything else important to mention here. So I'm going to just go ahead and close us off here. Anyone else have a thing they want to leave us on? Or
have a merry, merry day and a Christmas to you. Hooray.
Okay.
It's illogical, so I think it fits.
Yeah, understandable. Well, if that's all, then always remember, debates are not about proving your point, they are about asserting dominance over your opponent.